statue. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And the word of the Lord is already blessed. I want to teach on for this moment that we have together to study God's word. I want to teach on the road to destiny. The road to destiny. Won't you say that with me this morning? Say it, the road to destiny. This book of Numbers, my brothers and sisters, of course, is the fourth book of Moses, the fourth book contained within the Pentateuch, or the first four books of the Old Testament. But it's a great book for many individuals in this room to take as an understudy, because this is a book, first of all, on leadership. This is where we see great leadership exemplified and displayed here in the book of Numbers, because it highlights God's leader of the Old Testament, this fellow by the name of Moses. It shows how Moses had so much difficulty growing into this leadership position, because God called him a leader way back in Exodus, but this is where he really grew up as a leader in the book of Numbers. And if you're in here today and you're leading a company of employees, or you're leading a night shift at your job, or if you even leading here in the church, or perhaps you're leading even in your own homes, Numbers would be a good book for you to study, because there is so much spiritual wisdom and leadership found right here in the book of Numbers. It tells the journey of how it is that Moses had to lead God's people from the place where they were to their place of destiny. It talks about the leader's consecration, how leaders have to consecrate themselves so that they can hear from the Lord. The first few chapters of this book, it gives instructions on how God gave, watch this, Moses, specific instructions on how he was to lead the people of God. It talks about, watch this, the leader's offering. Because, watch this, leaders, we have to be the first ones to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. First of all, we have to sacrifice ourselves. And that's what he was saying. First of all, Moses, you have to give up some of the privileges that the other people that you're leading have, because you are the leader. So it's just certain things that you can't get away with. What a wonderful leadership principle for anybody who's in leadership, because whenever you're in leadership, there's always going to be some things that you have to sacrifice, because it's some things that y'all can get away with in between the that I can't get away with up here in public's eye. Why? Because a leader have to be given to sacrifice. Not only do you have to sacrifice yourself, but you also have to sacrifice of your substance. And read it there, right in chapter 5 or chapter 6, it begins to talk about how the leaders had to come and they gave their silver and they gave their gold, because you are a disgrace to leadership when you're asking your people to do something that you don't do. You see what I'm saying? And so this is a very good book on leadership, but then it also talks about how the leader had to interface or deal with his people, because you do understand that whenever you get more than two people that you're trying to lead, it's always going to be some stuff that jump off. Read it. When they start complaining and they start talking about Moses ain't the one that leader, who you said was going to lead, you know, they start pointing the finger and all that stuff in Moses' face. Moses had to lay before God so that he can hear what God was saying to say to the people, even when the people wanted to stone him. Read it. It's there. He had to deal with disloyalty, because Miriam and Aaron, y'all remember the Bible. I wish I had some Bible readers in here. That was his sister and his first assistant. Those were the ones who talking about, Moses, why you always up front? Why you always got to do all the talking? Why you got to get the big piece of chicken, Moses? Why you always got to ride in luxury? And so those were the people closest to him, but they were so disloyal. So this book teaches us how we deal with people that we are giving so much to, but they're giving us nothing back but disloyalty in return. It's a good book for leadership. I'm talking about if you're leading in an organization, if you're leading in the home, if you're leading in the community, because all the time the way you want people to respond is not the way they're going to always respond. Just because you treat them right don't mean they're always going to reciprocate and treat you right. And so Moses had to make sure that his heart didn't get hard, because whenever your heart get hard in leadership, God can't use you no more. Oh, it's a good book. It's a good book on leadership. And those of you who are aspiring to be leaders, or those of you who are leaders, you ought to read this, because it tells the life of how Moses had to lead these people into their destiny. It did. Because they were on their road to destiny. And they had so many things that would come against them as they were trying to find that place that God had created for them. And that's what many of us in this room is. That many of you in this room, you're trying to find a place. You're trying to find a place. Millions of dollars are spent each year on self-help books. It's a great industry. Those who write self-help books, and those who have tapes and CDs and videos, and those who host conferences. So many people are living life whilst they're trying to discover what their destinies are. And so they begin to seek different avenues and different venues where they might find success. And that's very, very critical, because you have to make sure that you discover destiny and you don't discover success, because there's a big difference between finding your destiny and finding success. Let me qualify that, because watch this. Success is temporary, but destiny is eternal. I hope you don't do that, because when you find a place of success, success can be here today, but it can be gone tomorrow. Because that's why you shouldn't chase after. You shouldn't say, "Lord, make me successful." Because watch this, success can be temporary. Let me see if I can put it where you can reach it. Last year in 2008, the team that won the Super Bowl was a team by the name of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when they won the Super Bowl in 2008, all the media was writing about was it was a return of the steel curtain, that the terrible towels are back to stay, the dynasty of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But that was in 2008. But in 2009, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't even make the playoffs. Why? Because they had success. They were successful in 08, but there was another team that was successful in 09. Nudge your neighbor and say, "Who that?" Amen. And so come back. And so we shouldn't chase after success, but we gotta say, "God, I wanna find my destiny." Because in destiny now, my successes and my failures, they all work together to push me to a place that God has created for me to be. Somebody say, "I want destiny. I want destiny." And you have to be careful, Beacon Light, because there are so many destiny substitutes out there. That there are so many people who are teaching things that are success principles, but they are not destiny principles. See, destiny is not financial security. Destiny is not you having a whole bunch of money, you coogee down to the socks with the Cartier watch. That's not destiny. That's financial security. And there are some people who are financially secure, but they're miserable. You see that? Because if I give you $1 million and I give you a job that you don't like, sooner or later you're going to say, "Man, you can keep the $1 million. I just need something that's going to give me some satisfaction." See, so destiny is not financial security. Let me tell you what else destiny is not. Destiny is not popularity and fame. Destiny don't mean that your name is going to be in the lights and everybody is going to know about you. No, you can be in destiny and nobody knows your name. Because destiny is not contingent on you being, watch this, widely known or popular. But destiny, watch this, it has nothing to do with how many dollars you make. Because it's easier to make a dollar, but it's harder to make a difference. You can get that one for free. I didn't give that to him last night. And so destiny doesn't deal with financial security. It doesn't deal with popularity and fame. And it doesn't deal with a position in life where you don't have to work no more. See, that's what we think. We think, ooh, I'm in my destiny, girl. I don't have to work no more. I can sit at home and watch Ellen, and I can watch this, and I can watch that. That is not destiny. God, I would be miserable if I had to just sit at home all day with nothing to do. No, I want to find a place where I'm fulfilled in life. That's what destiny is all about. Not having a job, that's lazy. That's not destiny. Amen. And so you should be seeking a place of destiny. Well, what is destiny? Let me give you a working definition now. Well, what is this thing called destiny? Destiny. Because so many people, we're in pursuit. We're in pursuit of it. You know, statistics tell us from college campuses, most people who graduate in one thing never ever work a day in that field. Because most high school students who go into college, they're thinking about success. They're not thinking about destiny. So they were born to be an educator, but because they don't make enough money as an educator, they go and be something else, and now they're miserable. See that? You were born to be one thing, but because you don't understand destiny. See, when you understand destiny, this is what it is. It's finding and following God's will for your life. Did you get that? That's what destiny is. It's finding and following the will of God for your life. Because you have been created, watch this, you have been created to function in a particular will of God. I mean, you wired for that. Like I can do a lot of things. I can do a lot of things. I can do a lot of things, but I have been created to do what I'm doing right now. There's nothing else I can do that would bring me more satisfaction, see, than teaching the people of God God's word and seeing their lives transformed. That's what I was wired to do, y'all. That's what I was doing. So it's finding and following the will of God for your life. And the question I have for you today, sir, ma'am, is, are you in the will of God? That job you're on, is that the will of God for your life? I know it's paying the bills. I know that. But are you being fulfilled with that? Mm-hmm. Finding and following the will of God for your life. Because when you find the will of God, that's the most secure place that you'll ever have in life. That's the most satisfying place that you'll ever have in life. And there is nothing that can compare to you walking in the will of God. Oh God, you ought to pray tonight before you go to bed. God, let me find your will for my life. Mm-hmm. Because let me just throw this in. Whenever you're in his will, he takes care of all the bills. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm telling y'all, because I didn't experience that when you step out of success in the destiny and your income go down, but yet you still live the same type of life. Why? Because when you're in destiny, God takes care of everything. He takes care of everything. This fellow, many of you may know him, this fellow by the name of Rick Warren, he pastors the Saddleback Church there in California, and he wrote the best-selling book that many of you may have entitled The Purpose-Driven Life, A Purpose-Driven Life. And Rick Warren said in this book that there are three basic issues in life that one must overcome in hopes of finding a fulfilled life. There's three issues that you're going to have to deal with if you are going to discover or get on this road towards destiny. First of all, he said, it's the issue of identity. This is so very important because there's so many people in the body of Christ that have identity problems. He says, so you got to address this issue of identity, that every person needs a healthy dose of self-awareness. You need to know who you are. Because if you never know who you are, you can never be in the will of God. And see, unfortunately, many of us have been born originals, but we died copies. Because we never ever find out who we really are. See, and when you find out who you really are, you don't have to imitate or try to be like anybody else, because now I know who I really am. Boy, I wish y'all was getting this morning, because this identity piece is the first thing that you have to overcome, that you have to know that you are somebody. But won't you help your neighbor out? Because I know they look good, but you'll be surprised how many people deal with self-esteem. I mean, you'll be surprised how many of them have low self-esteem. How many of them, I mean, they looking good, they smelling good, their shoes are shine, they sharp in here today, but inside they don't even know who they are. I'm talking about they have all the trimmings of success. They make good money, they got a good family, they got a good job, all of this stuff, but they don't know who they are. Won't you look at them and tell them you are somebody? Yes, you are. Yeah. No, you got to know. Look at the other one too, just in case they don't know. Tell them you are somebody. I don't care what you've been told over your lifetime. I don't care if they told you just like your daddy, and nobody from your family has ever been anything. No, I found out who I am in God. That when God made me, He did it fearfully and wonderfully. Baby, they broke the mold when they made Dennis Abel Jr. because there's never been one like me, and there'll never be another one like me when I leave. You got to know that I am somebody. So you can hold your head back, you can get your swag on and say, I know that I am somebody. Yeah. Because see, the devil gonna try to tell you, man, you ain't nobody. You know, no. I'm somebody, and I'm somebody special. See, Warren says you gotta deal with this identity issue, but not only do you have to deal with the identity issue, you gotta know that you are unique. Look at your neighbor and say, you're unique, you're unique. That's why you act like that, because you, you're different. See, you have to know, listen, you have to know who you are. Because if I don't know who I am, the best I can do is be a good number two. I can't be who pastor want me to be. I can't be who my wife want me to be. I can't be who the people on that job want me to be. You got to take me, like Mary J. say, flaws and all. He says you got to deal with the identity issue. But then secondly, boy, somebody in here need that. I don't know why the Holy Ghost just pulling that one on me. Not only the identity issue, but you have to deal with the issue of importance. That not only do I know who I am, I have self-awareness, but I know that I'm significant. That to the world, you may be one person, but to one person, you're the world. See, this issue of importance. And every person in this room today, the Lord told me to tell you, you are important. There's somebody that's counting on you to make it. That there's somebody that's counting on you not to collapse. That there's somebody that's counting on you to stay strong. Why? Because I'm important to somebody. Boy, I hope you hear this. And see, if the devil can make you think that my life don't matter, don't nobody appreciate, no. Don't you hear that? Don't you say that. There is somebody that's counting on you to make it. There's somebody you don't even know. They sit way on the other side of the church, but they always looking at you and how you lift your hands and how you clap and how you doing what you're doing, how you raising that child by yourself. You got to know that you are a testimony to somebody, and you are important, that you can't die now because somebody needs you to make it. Somebody needs to know that what you've been through, they can get through. So you got to know that one day my testimony is going to be told. I am important to somebody. Because somebody's going to need to know that even though nobody else in your family went to college, you can go to college. See, somebody's going to need to know, because everybody in your family been divorced, you can stay married. See, you are important to somebody. And Warren says that you got to deal with this issue of your identity. You got to deal with this issue of your importance, but then you got to deal with the issue of your impact. Because you were created not just to know who you are, not just to know that you're important, but you are created to make impact. Which means, watch this, to find your place in life. Watch this. Find your place in life and do the best you can with the time you've been given. I hope you read that. Write this down in your margin. Acts chapter number 13, I believe it is, in verse number 36. The Bible says, watch this. And David fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. Oh, boy. When I read that the other day, that stuck in my spirit, that he fulfilled the purpose of God. And he did it in his generation. You know why? Because your purpose can't be fulfilled when you leave. Your purpose can't be fulfilled before you got here. Your purpose has to be fulfilled right now.